Welcome back to the Teams Insider podcast. In this episode, I talk to Richard Trestain at Jabra, and we get into their recent research about hybrid work and modern work. And they had some really interesting stats around what Gen Z's expectations are in the workplace. You know, what do they want? What's their expectations? And really, how are those expectations formed? Thanks to Richard for taking the time to join the show. And many thanks to Jabra, who are a big supporter of Empowering Cloud. Really appreciate their support of what we're doing. On with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. I've been looking forward to this one. Richard and I have had this conversation a few times. Actually, he's presented this information at our London News Group. And we're going to talk about kind of what's going on with hybrid work, but not just opinion, actually looking at some research that Jabra have commissioned. But first of all, Richard, do you just want to introduce yourself?
Of course, yeah. Hi, Tom. Great to be here. I'm Richard Trestain. I'm Product Marketing Manager at Jabra, representing EMEA. So it's my job to tell everyone all of our stories and get everyone excited about our products and our research as well in this case.
Awesome. So we've been planning this podcast for a while. So you did present this information before at the London News Group, I think when it was just pre-release as well. But maybe you could talk us through, I mean, A, what is this research, and a little bit about how you do it, because it's, you know, it's not just a finger in the air. There's some real methodology behind it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we've been doing the kind of thought leadership for years, but it really came to the top when this little pandemic thing happened that we're all so familiar with. And we wanted to give people this sort of clarity and guidance on how return to the office might be working and the emergence of proper hybrid work. So we've had surveys every single year since then, around about 4,500 people, 14 or 15 countries. And we kind of asked the same questions each year, but there's always a theme to then the subsequent questions that we ask in the survey. This year's theme was Gen Z or Gen Z. I keep being reminded to say Gen Z. And previous to that, we've also done a study with London School of Economics as well. So yeah, happy to talk about any of those.
Awesome. Well, let's do the hybrid work, because I'm really interested. I'm just off the back of Enterprise Connect, and I sat in different sessions with different analysts, and some of them were saying the average is now 3.5 days a week, and some of them were saying nobody's going back at all. So what did you find around that, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's clear to me from our study that it's kind of plateauing now. So we're seeing around 6% people fully remote. That did surprise me. That's across all these different countries. And of course, there's big differences per country. Nordics, for instance, have even more remote work than other countries. 43% fully in office, which really speaks volumes to the return to office, the benefits of being in an office. People are seeing actually that it is easier to work with people in person. Who knew? I feel like
that's pretty undeniable. Yeah. Like it's funny, like obviously there are personal benefits to being flexible, but I find it hard for anybody to argue that if you your immediate peers and you're working on a project, that ability to be in person, yeah, undoubtedly adds value. Like you can obviously do it without. There are some very successful companies that are 100% remote, but yeah, there is value. Even our small company, Empowering Cloud, one of the first things we did was get a small office space so we could get together, and there's some value in that.
Yeah, working together in person on a project, I personally don't see how that can be done fully online, fully remote. But it really, the other key points are really that technology is available in the office. There will inevitably be people who are working remotely and need to come into that meeting remotely. So you then have to have the meeting room equipment to make that work. But yeah, 43% fully in office, I think, is perhaps going to be more or less as high as it gets. That's my feeling anyway. It's on record now, so that's my prediction. And then 51% hybrid. That's at least one time per week in the office. Yeah, so that's the figures we're seeing right now.
And I think it's interesting, like, you know, we've always had some capability for someone to remote into the meeting. But I feel like with the customers I work with, the dynamics have changed to where it was most people are in person and the remote person is dialing in and kind of trying to catch up with the meeting, to now very often actually it could be the very senior person or the meeting leader that's remote. Like the geography of the people joining is not relative to their role in the meeting, and almost sometimes I'm seeing the inverse, where actually it's the senior people that have a well set up home office that tend to stay remote, and the potentially junior people who don't have the same capabilities and space that like to come into the office. So that changes how we meet, because we need to have a really even experience to get the most out of the meeting.
I think we all got our setups at home pretty good during the pandemic and after. The kinds of meetings we were having at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, I remember just looking at those sea of faces around you thinking, what are you doing? Now I don't have that anymore. Generally, people look good, have got their home set up pretty good. So their ability to be seen and included in a meeting when other people are in the meeting room, I think is doing really well. Now the key is to make sure that meeting room looks good for the remote participants as well, and you can see individual people in the room.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. And it's ironic, isn't it, that the challenge has flipped around to where pre-pandemic the meeting room was the best experience, and now very often, as you say, like we were just talking before the call, you're really dialed in on your P20 there, like the video's good, the audio's good, whereas in the room, if you haven't kitted out the room appropriately, you're sometimes missing out on that.
Absolutely. And there's certain generations and certain types of people, the way people work, where they really need that engagement so much. They need to be able to see everyone in the room, to be able to relate to them. And we've spent years talking about equity, but we really do need to dial up that equity.
So what about the research in terms of kind of this year and Gen Z and millennials? I feel like very often, that's a challenge in the sense of they're the people that need to understand the workplace, the work, the culture. So what did the LSE research find around Gen Z?
Well, we did these two separate pieces. So the Gen Z research came off the back of our regular annual research. And so we made sure that we had a big cohort of Gen Z respondents, and then we compared their answers to everyone else in the knowledge worker area. So Gen Z, Gen Z, got to get it right. They are absolutely all about flexibility. If you look at the overall population of knowledge workers, flexibility is the other top three. Things like salary and other benefits fallen down the list a little bit. But Gen Z are over-indexing even more. Something like 89% of Gen Z are in jobs which allow them full flexibility. So they demand it for sure.
Yeah.
But then we also seeing this kind of mentality of what work is really coming through clearly in the research. And one of the analogies that we use in some of our presentations is the idea of Tetris versus Minecraft. So we've got Tetris being the work style that the other generations are used to. You have a job to do, you flip a block around, you put it in place, you do what you need to do. Minecraft, do what you like. You can decide one day to walk off into the distance and see if you can get to the horizon. Never can.
I love this analogy. That's a really good way to think about it, actually. Of like, it makes a lot of sense. Your Tetris, you're pre-constrained to, you've been given this task, you have to fit it into the wider machine. And I can see that anecdotally in the Gen Z attitude. Well, what are we trying to achieve? I can go away and work out how to achieve that.
Yeah. And I've got to say that the analogy is not mine. It comes from someone else. But but it really works when you're trying to describe really the differences. Good. If you are used to this idea that you live in a sandbox world where you can do whatever you like, you're inspired by social media. Of course, the algorithms are feeding you what you want to see as well. So you see every day, day in, day out, inspiration about these people who have made lives and jobs exactly how they want them to be. You've got like the Mr. Beasts and you've got the Kylie Jenners who have done what they want, made massive amounts of money, and you know, you could argue very happy. But then there's also the much sort of larger group of influencers and people you see on social media where they have a fantastic work-life balance, working extremely hard, maybe doing up houses for a living, living in different continents. The kinds of people and work styles that Gen Z are exposed to is absolutely infinite compared to what I will say you and I, assuming that we're in more or less the same generation.
I think we're in about the same bracket.
Yeah, good.
We won't disclose it on the podcast.
No, we won't. but yeah, you know, we sit in a perhaps we sat with a careers advisor who said, well, here's a long list of different careers, doctor, lawyer, engineer, architect, all these things. Gen Z don't see that. They just see this huge, wide open world. And I think that is fantastic. It really is fantastic. But it does lead to kind of misconceptions about what work is going to be when they get there. And we see from our data that they love this flexibility, but they are also already burning out. There's something like 52% of Gen Z saying they are burnt out. And these are people who have been in the workplace for 5 years. And perhaps where that comes from is that they come in, they're super excited to be in the workplace. They are very, very motivated to succeed and get places quick. And they realize that it's not quite what they expected. So there's a lot of work for companies to be doing.
Yeah, your social media, I mean, it's undoubted. Again, that's had a huge influence on attitudes and perceptions. And we all know that social media skews towards the aspirational good news story, and it can be, you know, that's not the reality for most people percentage wise. Like you're going to do a more normal job and have a more normal routine, so maybe it does set up some false aspirations or expectations there of I'm going to go from intern to CEO in 5 years and run the company versus the reality of having to, you know, work your way up a little bit.
And actually their method of progressing in their career is to change jobs. So well over half are expecting to change jobs immediately, and 75% regard changing jobs as being the way to progress. The company's got to do a lot to keep Gen Z.
Yeah, it is genuinely challenging. And I think, and also back to that careers advisor, the perception in our joint day was you're picking a career and you're going to go down that career route. Whereas I think it's very obvious now to Gen Z, they're not picking a career or even an industry, they're doing a thing for a while and the world will change and they'll do another thing. So it's not just company hopping, it might be industry hopping, it Absolutely. Might be, you know, a whole bunch of different things there.
Yeah, actually one of the things that relates to is that they're very happy with their managers, but actually they don't regard their manager's experience or their knowledge of the industry they're in as being in any way important. It's completely different to the other generations where we would follow a manager who knew lots about the company, knew lots about the subject matter. They actually choose managers who are supportive, who are good motivators, good leaders, and are really engaging with them. And the list is online, but way down the list is anything to do with experience or knowledge of the industry, which for me is a little bit crazy and I can't quite get my head around it, but you can kind of understand where they're coming from. They'd rather be motivated and led into battle by a great leader than necessarily someone who's got good experience.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think I feel like in general there's an underappreciation of management as a skill. Like you see a lot of management, I think, has got harder in hybrid because, again, you had that personal touch in a lot of management cases, and now you're trying to manage people that are geographically dispersed. You have to find new ways to build that relationship and kind of, you know, get the motivation going.
Absolutely.
So Richard, how does that pull back to, like, that sounds very accurate to me. How does that pull back to our hybrid working styles, our meeting rooms, like, how do we bridge this gap between this Gen Z and helping create that culture where they feel engaged?
Yeah, they feel just as engaged in person as digitally. So that's a good start. They're digital natives. They are more than happy to be on a video call. But actually, they do also crave the personal connection. So the way to keep them in the company is to give them as much engagement as possible, give them opportunities to meet people. Speaking to a customer the other day who was having this problem with people leaving a contact center role. And what they did essentially was give more time of face-to-face engagement with colleagues and managers. And they found they managed to massively increase the time that people stayed in the job. And that came through very strongly in the research. So having meetings in person, but then having remote meetings which are truly equitable and mean that the person feels fully included in that meeting and fully heard is key. And that, of course, then comes down to technology in a lot of ways. It's quite interesting because they said that of all the reasons their meetings were frustrating, all of those reasons were technical. None of them were behavioral. It wasn't about employees talking over each other or poor agendas. It was all about audio quality, video quality, internet connection. So they just expect things to work. And we need to do that.
I imagine their expectation is high because they're coming from, they've been internet native, they've been digital tools native, like they've all probably, video calls are a default, like kit expectations are high. So if you give them a crappy old laptop and a good luck, they're going to be like, wait a minute, my Apple AirPods experience in consumer land is great. You have to match that bar in the enterprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are the first to complain about poor equipment for sure. But then the distribution of that equipment is still very low. So it's, I can't remember the exact figure, but it's something like 8% use a headset and 18%, I think, use a webcam. So I think introducing them to those kinds of products is absolutely vital. And they'll realize that, oh, actually, this does really increase my engagement and my enjoyment of the meetings. And then that extends to the meeting room itself, where that camera, video bar, whatever it is in the room, needs to project those people who are in the room to the remote participant super well. And then we'd look at things like dynamic composition, where it zooms in on the most recent speakers to make sure that those people are seen and heard in the meeting.
And then this is an area where, you know, Jabra have been innovating. You were one of the very early ones to embed an intelligent speaker, now the people recognition. I think, am I right in saying multi-stream is coming on the horizon as well?
Yeah, that's coming very soon. We announced that quite some time ago. But yeah, the idea that the Panacast 50 can create separate streams of the different speakers in the room and deliver that to the platform. In the case of Teams, then Teams can do people recognition, voice recognition, and attribute those people in the room to the transcript, increasing Copilot efficiency.
We've gone a full 15 minutes without saying Copilot, so I feel like
contractually
say it at this point.
Is it the C word? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like that's a reality going back to that Gen Z and whatever. I don't know what the next gen is called. Do we go back to A or do we come up with a
Gen
up
A, Gen again? Alpha. But I think people are starting to call it Gen AI, so that works. Yeah.
Well, I would say that feels like a reality that will come to me, where obviously they would expect the ability to just ask questions, mine data, like that is going to come through for sure.
Mm. No, it is. And you know, we're developing those features deliberately so that it will make AI work better. So we're the only intelligent speaker, the front of room camera with a speaker that has that capability of perfect transcripts and things.
And we just, again, off the back of Enterprise Connect, Microsoft announced MDEP, which is the Microsoft Devices Ecosystem Platform. Nice catchy name. that's Microsoft's flavor of Android. Jabra are going to be the first kind of baking that into the Android bar as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So we got up on stage and we did that announcement with Microsoft. So we are going to be the first. It's looking really exciting. We don't have a lot of details right now. It's very early stages. But just the idea that there is a Microsoft operating system on Android that has the familiarity of security that people are used to with Microsoft, I think is really powerful. And yeah, it's really nice that we're going to be the first.
Yeah, I've got my six. I've got a virtual background. I've got my VBS in the background. So I'm looking forward to getting that on the MDEP and feeling the experience. But yeah, when the time's right, we'll dive in a bit more detail in the pod and talk about the specifics. But exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking us through the research, Richard. It's really nice to talk, not just, I always like talking to you because it gets to the wider conversation about what the kit's delivering for the organization. I think that research does add some significant value to the conversation.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a pleasure to show this. The Gen Z study especially gets a great reaction. So I'd recommend people can look at the report. It's quite a long report, 28 pages. But it's,
I was going to say, how do people get hold of it? What's the best thing to do?
Yeah, just search Jabra Gen Z and it comes up there. There's a huge amount of data there. It's incredibly powerful for organizations who are trying to navigate through this. So yeah, really useful.
Awesome. We'll link it in the show notes as well. So if you want to take a look at that, do take a look.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Richard. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much.